I ain't gonna front. There's an unutilized look in a photo shoot for a model is the wet hair look, because I think that look real sexy to me.
It does look really sexy. I like it. I'm all natural at the moment.
Oh, I see. And it's my smokers to see. She's gorgeous. Natural. Thank you. She wakes up like that every morning.
Oh, that's cool.
And them piercing, beautiful blue eyes. Oh, my God.
Thank you.
And a pretty smile. So how are you doing this wonderful Friday?
I'm doing really well. There we go. How have you been?
I'm doing good. I can't complain. Had me a good nap. Me getting into my 50s. It seems like naps become my best friend.
Naps are always good.
Yeah, I'll be trying to take one after I get off work. I work in laundry and I got to do a bunch of laundry shit. So I try to take a nap so I can be refreshed or what have you for any, you know, interview I may have and everything. So how was your Christmas?
It was good. I spent it with family.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. And do your family know what you do?
Yeah, they know.
They're supportive, or how was your reaction when first of all, how did they find out? Did you tell them, or did they stumble on it?
A douchebag I was dating told my cousin, and my cousin told my entire family. And that happened all the way back in 2012.
Oh. Oh, my goodness. Now, which is funny as fuck, because similar situation. Because, damn, actually, that was the same exact year that my mama found out about me.
Come to think about it.
And mine was a godbrother.
Mine was my
godbrother, her godson.
Oh, shit.
And he brought the laptop to the house and showed it to her.
Oh, well, and my family didn't see it. They just heard about it. So that part's good.
Oh, yeah. But now she told me, and the smokers know what Mama Lucas always says. Never be ashamed of what you got to do to feed your family. You know? And so you've been in business since 2012.
Yep.
Oh, this is going to be an interesting interview, ladies and gentlemen. Now, this piece, because from doing my research upon you, yeah, you have a lot to talk about and a lot of accomplishments for what I see. And since you've been in business 2012, what's the one thing that the biggest change for you since 2012 when it comes to this business?
Biggest change for me? Oh, man. Well, when you first started out, you had to solely rely on companies because OnlyFans wasn't a thing, ManyVids, all of that. This stuff didn't exist back in the day. So either you had to meet company expectations and work for them, or you weren't working.
Yeah, because and even with that, content creation was there, but it wasn't as easy to do it.
It was really hard to do it. And even then, it wasn't as profitable unless you like knew where to sell it. There were certain places, but if you didn't know and if you didn't have the knowledge and the fan base and the skill set to market yourself back in the day, which I definitely didn't, because when I first started out, I was like 20 years old, 19, 20. I started at a very young age and the internet was still pretty new and I had no internet business skills yet. I developed them over time doing this. Mm-hmm. But when I was starting out, you know, the most I knew how to do was make profiles on MySpace.
Did y'all hear what she said? I feel good because I be feeling like I'm old when I say MySpace.
I used to do like all the cool profiles and the HTML and the coding, and I knew how to do all that. I was smart in that area, but it's not like I knew how to set up a website or how to sell clips or how to market things or how to brand or promote. When I was a kid, I didn't know any of that stuff. I was new to all of it. And I graduated high school on time with my class, but I did not go to college. So it's one of those things that's like, I didn't know business things. I learned over time.
I attended a college. That don't mean I went to the college. I attended it. Well, actually, I went to college for my freshman year. I attended it for my sophomore year. I was too busy getting pussy.
I enrolled, I enlisted, and then I chickened out. I was like, what if I end up hating this and end up having all of these debts, you know, not using my degree? I thought it through. I was like, I don't want to do this and end up hating it and being in debt. But I was enrolled, and I was supposed to go to school for nursing. I was accepted, and I was supposed to do RN stuff, and I just never became an RN. I was like, I think I'll go do porn instead.
Now, here's the sad part.
Healthcare
is the biggest employers of porn stars who wants a job, because they don't give a fuck that you did porn. As long as you can take care of the patient, they don't care. How I know? Because I work in healthcare, and everybody at my job knew what the fuck I do. Damn it, one of the girls talk about my dick size all the goddamn time. Do you know he's packing a horse dick? I'm like, damn, you gonna tell everybody? I don't mind him knowing, but damn. Oh my God. And with
well,
that
that's good that they're at least laid back.
Yeah. Yeah, because it don't feel like they're bothered if someone does the business. Because you'd be surprised how many nurses got OnlyFans. You know.
That's awesome, because a lot of normal industries discriminate and they'll fire you if they find out. So that's cool that they allow it in the nursing field. I didn't know that. I've heard of police officers being fired for it. Of course, teachers have been fired for it. You hear all the time about how people can't do their jobs because, you know, OnlyFans, they get banned from their industries. So it's good that they don't do that in the nursing field.
There you go. So with that being said, hello, smokers. Welcome to the Smokers Lounge. You know who I am. I'm Kevin Arbus, Southern Champ, a.k.a. the porn rap star. You know what you need to do. Find all my links with one link, allmylinks.com/pornrapstar. Four sponsors to tell you about. Y'all know with you know who, if you're a day one smoker, you know who they are. First up, the Facebook of the LS community, lsworld.com. Next up, the hottest adult magazine on the web and in the world, eroticismmagazine.com. And the new home of the premium smoke room, where you content creators 90% profit. No hashtag issues, and you ain't got to worry about getting bumped off like these girls getting bumped off on OnlyFans. I'm talking about none other than excitebunny.com. Just look for the bunny. Also, last but not least, award-winning, award-nominated. We're talking about VoiceOver with Smut, and they even have an award-nominating part of their website, which features virtual reality. I'm talking about none other than the wonderful blusherotica.com. Also, we are a proud member of the GW District Black Podcasting Network. So go over to shopgwdistrict.com and go buy something. Why don't you? Also, check me out in the mornings on fullswapradio.com 5 days out of the week, Monday through Friday. Also, check me out on Skyhawk After Dark TV as well as the BGP LLC app. Now, I'm going to sit back and let this gorgeous blue-eyed bombshell who can suck a dick and can eat the fuck out of a pussy, banging ass body, and you can even play her in a coming video game. And did I forget to mention AVN nominated? I'm going to shove and let her introduce herself. Go ahead, babe.
Hi, I'm Nikki Huntsman, and I'm one of the playable characters in Retro Knockout. I'm actually the main character's love interest in the game. But you can play as me and fight one of the bosses in the game. And I got to help create my character's storyline and design and different things. Like, initially, they wanted her to just be a stripper at Strips Ahoy. And I was like, I'm not a dancer. I'm not a stripper. I can't relate to that. I want the character to reflect who I am. So they made her a bartender, which I've bartended, I've served, I've waitressed, I've done all that. And then I told them, I was like, hey, I used to do MMA and this is a fighting game. So why don't you make her a fighting character? And they made me playable and they made it to where I can fight one of the bosses. So
now let's see here. This year I have interviewed a former police officer. Shouts out to Bella Lexi. I have interviewed a former pro wrestler. Now I'm talking to someone that do mixed martial arts. Oh my God.
I don't anymore. I got kicked in the ribs and I got a cracked rib. Ooh. And then after that fight, I haven't been in the ring since then. That really hurt.
Oh yeah, I can see her with like the ponytail, the cornrow, goddamn, she ready to go, goddamn. Like, yeah, It's just like, I thought about being a boxer, but then I said, do I really want to get hit?
So with me, I was drunk and I volunteered myself to do it a couple weeks before the match because I was at this place called Dames and Games, and they have girl fight nights, and I was watching the show and it seemed like a lot of fun, and drunk me volunteered myself for future fights. And I won a couple of the fights and did really well. And then the last fight that I did, I got my ass kicked because the girl in my size class canceled. She was a no-show. And they were like, either you can just not fight tonight or you can fight the bitch that's bigger than you. And I was cocky after winning a few fights. So I went and fought the chick that was bigger than me. And she kicked me in my rib cage and broke my rib.
Like, how much bigger was she? How much bigger was she of you?
I'm 5'4". She was 6 foot. She was skinny. She looked like a twig. I thought I could take her. She was tall, but she had that extra reach with her arms.
That's why you lost.
I wasn't thinking about the reach. I was thinking she looks like a twig and I could break her with my punch because I'm thick, I'm sturdy, I'm muscular. I was thinking about the weight. I wasn't thinking about the length.
Yeah, because I can tell that you was, I called, deceptively thick. She thick, ladies and gentlemen. She got booty tits. She's not a skinny lady.
You know, period. I'm also not fat. I'm just sturdy.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure, like, with some of the producers and the male talents, when they see you and when they see you come out your clothes, they're like, damn, I didn't know you were thick like that.
Yeah, I'm curvy. I got a great ass.
Yes, you do. Yes, she do. So how did you end up, before we go into what got you into porn, how did you end up being a part of the game? How did this come about?
So Don DeMarco, the one that introduced us right here, he knew Neil, and Neil was looking for porn stars to be in his video game. And Don asked a few different people, and I was one of the people that was asked, and I was like, holy shit, I've always wanted to be in a video game. So I was all for it. I talked to Neil, we vibed, and then he asked me to be a part of his game, and we clicked so well when we made the first game that I'm actually signed up for the second game, and I'm supposed to be in the third game, and if there's any further ones, as long as we continue to get along and things keep going as well as they did with the first game, I should be in multiple games.
Oh my God. And you are the first porn star to be featured in a video game. Let's make this clear.
Yeah, featured in a video game as myself, have my name, my image, my personality, my voice. Because, of course, other porn stars have probably done like voiceover things for characters that are in games that are just NPCs or talking parts, but it's a little bit different. I'm the first playable character. I'm the first with my actual name and image being used, my actual personality. I'm the first one ever.
Yeah, good. I was seeing, I went and took a look, because you can go on YouTube, people, and see the trailer for it. And yeah, it's like Mike Tyson's knockout. It's basically practical.
It's a parody.
It's a parody of it. And she's sitting there beating the shit out the balls like, boop, he's recurring because she hit him in the nuts. Wow, like, oh shit, okay.
Did you see the finishing move? My special move is called the clam slam. Ooh. And I use my crotch to slam onto his face and smother him, and that's how I win.
I'm sorry, that's the best finish maneuver ever.
Right?
Crotch slam my ass any day.
Clam slam!
Oh my God. Oh, so I know now also the fact that they gave you an opportunity to develop your character. Because a lot of gamers, a lot of game company developers, they don't use the person doing the voiceover or the character they're basing off of. They don't allow them to have say so in the development of the character. So how
do
you feel that?
They typically don't.
Yeah, so how did it feel that he allowed you that leeway to develop your character and have say on what happened with the character and how the character would be?
I appreciated it so much, especially because it's like, well, you're reaching out to me, you want to use my name and my image, you know, like, even to start, he wanted it to be Nikki Huntsman. He wanted it to have my name, wanted it to have my image. I'm like, well, if my name and my image are going to be attached to it, I want it to have my personality a little bit. And I want it to be more realistic to who I am. I don't want it to be just my name and my image, you know, yeah, with a completely made up character that doesn't fit me. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy that he gave me that leeway.
Oh, that is just beautiful. So shoot. So, cause I always talk about on my show, finding opportunities out of porn, outside of porn and everything. And what other opportunity did you seek that's outside of porn?
I've been doing a little bit of stand-up comedy here and there. I've done independent films. I also worked for Tipsy Bartender. I was one of his original Tipsy Girls on YouTube way back in the day. I don't know if you know that channel or not, Tipsy Bartender, mixologist.
I heard of it.
I used to be one of the original Tipsy Girls back in the day, back before he had 100,000 subscribers, like way back. And now he has 8 or 9 million on his YouTube, 36 million followers on his Facebook. Like, he blew the fuck up. But I was one of the original Tipsy Girls way back in the day.
Oh, my goodness. So shoot. So now, let's go back in the time machine, shall we? 2012, what brought you to doing a dope film?
I was going through a divorce and custody stuff and other things. I was like 19 years old and I was working at Hooters and I was enrolling in college. I had so many huge life changes going on at that time and I was trying to do local modeling gigs through Model Mayhem and I found out my grandma was going through cancer and I had so much hitting me at the same time that like when I had porn companies reaching out to me, offering me porn, at first I was like, no, I'm not going to do it. But they kept offering me and kept touching base with me for like 6 months. And I was going through so much stress at the time that I was like, you know what? I could probably do 3 or 4 videos and nobody would ever find out because there's thousands of pornos on the internet. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, they're going to fly me to Florida, pay for the testing, pay for me to stay at the Hilton. I'm going to make $1,000 a day, which was righteous bucks back in 2012, you know, free vacation, $1,000 a day just to go do some lesbian porn that I thought nobody would ever see. And I took the risk and I did it and it got back to my family and everybody I went to school with pretty quickly, unfortunately, because that put a lot more stress on me at the time. But I ended up liking the industry and sticking with it. And here I am 12 years later.
Yes. And the interesting part about that is your first shoot was Girl on Girl.
Yeah.
You immediately went to the Girl on Girl
side. My first year of shooting. I did not do anything with boys the first year.
Mm. So was that because of the bookings you were getting or that was by choice?
It was by choice. I only wanted to do lesbian porn at first. Mm-hmm. I was going through a divorce, and at that point in time,
you just sick of dudes.
My ex-husband was one of the first dudes that I had ever been with. He was my long-term high school boyfriend.
Ooh.
I was with him from 2008 all the way to 2013. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really want to jump from that into fucking a bunch of different dudes on camera that I didn't know. Mm. I wasn't comfortable with it, so I started by fucking women.
Mm. And you was already bisexual. Well, yeah. You already knew
I was always bisexual. Always.
Yeah.
Always bisexual. And like before my husband, I had only had one other male partner.
Mm-hmm.
And that one was a one-time thing. Lost my virginity to the dude, didn't sleep with him again. Then I was with my ex-husband for like 5 years. So.
Oh my goodness. Shit, why didn't you sleep with him again? He was terrible.
What?
Why didn't you sleep with him again? He was terrible.
No, he wasn't terrible. He had a huge one and it lasted for like 2 hours straight my first time. And it wasn't fun for me. I didn't enjoy
it. Wasn't fun. Oh no, because shit, you started off with a huge dick.
I started off with a huge one and I didn't like it. And then the man that I married actually was Asian and had a 4-incher. And then I went to lesbian porn after my husband.
I know the lesbian. I know your ex-husband like, damn. He probably, he, like most man's been motherfucker, damn, nigga, you so terrible, you push up the women. Dude, you might need to get a dick enhancement, goddamn, operation. Oh my God. So, all right, let's unpack your first shoot. Because you say you did some modeling before. So being in front of the camera, the lights, all that, that was nothing. But this is different, people, because this is the first time I ever unpacked a girl on girl for a first shoot. So we're about to do it. So tell me about the shoot, who'd you work with, you know, how did you get set up? And you're feeling on set because it's different.
My first shoot was terrifying. I hated it. No, okay. My first shoot was called Haze Her, and I was being hazed into a college sorority.
Oh.
And we were being yelled at and dominated and humiliated and demeaned and made to do stupid, embarrassing things. And we were insulted and degraded. And yeah. So it was basically like we were being screamed at and abused, and then we had to fuck the bitches that were abusing us. Yeah, so I wasn't a huge fan of my first scene. And then my second scene, I was on the bang bus, but I just did the girl-girl part with the other girl, and then I had to sit there and watch her fuck the dude after because it was the bang bus, but I was only doing girl-girl at the time. So I was basically the cuck sitting there watching. And then my third shoot, what?
I said she was a female cuttress. Watch her female getting some dick.
Yep. I was the cuck in the corner of the bang bus, driving around Florida while they fucked. And
I remember that. I remember that site. I remember Bang Bros. Oh, trust me, I'm a fan of Bang Bros.
Yeah, that was my second shoot that I ever did. That was my second. And then my third was called Party of Three, and that one was with Mercedes Lynn and Tasha Rain. And that was the first girl-girl video that I did that I actually liked, and the first porno that I actually liked. My third video that I shot was the first one I liked. I hated the first 2 days on set.
I can see why, because the first one is kind of like a BDSM almost scene without the whips and chains.
I don't like being degraded. I don't like humiliation play. I don't like that. It's not my kink.
So did you know going into that shoot that that was the shoot was going to be?
I knew that I was being hazed into a college sorority, but I didn't know what that entailed. And not only that, but you have to think it was my first porn shoot ever, and I was 19 and I'd never done porn. So I didn't know what I was getting myself into. I was just like, yeah, sure, I'll do it.
Yeah, because the game changed now, because now they want women that are older, not younger. But back then, it was about getting them fresh off the boat, 19, 18,
barely 20. Legal, never done anything. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a different game now.
I was young. I was innocent. That was my first time ever actually, like, having sex with a girl. That was that video. I never did it in my personal life before that. I knew I was bisexual. I knew I was attracted to women, but I never had sex with a woman before I did porn.
See, it's kind of, but see, that's how it was back then. Because even from talking to a lady, a black porn star that started in 2000, I think she started in 2008. And her first scene, her first shoot was anal. And she never done anal in her life. And she had to do two of them when she went.
That's rough.
I was like, damn. That's the other way to break your anal cherry.
But, yeah, that is. Hopefully they paid her good for that.
And one of them was Rico Strong. So if anybody knows porn more Rico Strong.
That's a big dick.
That's a lot to take in your ass.
You know? That is.
Oh, my goodness. So, shoot. So, with you, like you said, when you came in, you immediately went for an agency? Went for an agent?
No, I had random porn scouts reaching out to me, because back in the day scouts were a thing. I don't know if that's still a thing, but now I had scouts reaching out to me and finding me random gigs, and then I eventually got an agent, and the agent I had at the time was flaky, and then I went to a different agency that I'm not going to name names of that tried to change the entire agreement and screw me over like a few days into signing. So then I waited the contract out because they were like, well, either you can wait and not do any adult films for 6 months, or you can pay us $2,500 to leave if you don't like this. So I was like, okay. So I waited it out. And then I got the agency that I have now. Mm-hmm. And I've been with them since 2013. Nice. I went through two different agencies before I found the third one that I liked. And I've been with the third one ever since. So.
Yeah, because that was the thing. Either girls went and found an agent or they found a producer to work with. You know, period. It wasn't you just came in and did it yourself. You know, you had help as well as guidance and someone to guide and navigate.
Yeah,
the waters of porn.
I always had people navigating, but it was a porn talent scout back in the day. Because back in the day, you could have scouts that weren't even agents. Mm-hmm. But they would find you the gig, and then they would get, like, a $500 finder's fee.
Oh, yeah. Trust me, I done booked a lot of girls. I done got a lot of finder's fees in my day, people. Trust me, believe. I done sent girls to Gervaisa Vangles, Heatwave, a couple of places.
Yeah, so you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because back then, the male producer slash male talent role, we was the intermediates. We had the connections to the Hollywoods in Florida. And our job was, because I remember when a producer from Hollywood told me, no, get the girls to put out their own content. They knew back then this was coming. They knew this was coming. That's why they did so much to try to curb girls from doing content, from pushing Pornhub. Some of these companies actually took videos from girls' sites and put it on Pornhub. To make it seem like it's bootlegging, but they really was trying to discourage people from doing content because they didn't want her to become their competition.
Yeah.
You know.
That makes sense.
So it was kind of like, because a lot of people don't realize Brazzers been promoting, been hooked up with fucking goddamn Pornhub, even with Porn, and Pornhub done been owned three times over. See, I do my homework.
Yeah.
So, what made you transition to boy girl?
Well, it was just one of those things. I kind of just wanted to work my way into it. I was just nervous doing porn in the first place, but I wanted to start with women. It felt more comfortable to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I got to know people and how sets worked, and as I was around people and felt more comfortable, that's when I was like, you know, I'm okay with trying boy girl now. But I was just too nervous at first because you always hear horror stories about the industries and you hear about allegations and abuse and you hear so many different things that it made me not want to work with men in the industry yet. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was first starting, I wanted to get a feel for things. I didn't want to risk like having a bad horror story happen to me.
Oh, yeah. Because I tell anybody, just give me 100. It's hard to stay lesbian in this business and have a long-term career. It's hard.
Yeah.
Because one, it's limited work. And two, it's kind of, how can I put this? The fans going to eventually want to see you with a dude at some point.
You know? Bisexual. I'm cool with it both ways. It was just one of those things that when I was first starting out, the idea of it scared me. It was a little intimidating, especially because all of the porn dicks, they're fucking huge, you know? And I can handle them now, but like I said, before porn, my husband had a 4-incher, and I was prepared to live with that for the rest of my life, you know? He treated me bad, though, so that's why I left, but
yeah.
I will say, I was totally cool with having a 4-inch dick my whole life, so going from 4 inches to 10 or 12 for shoots, that's a huge change.
Yeah, and see, I see it picking her ass up, too.
Mm-hmm.
Them hips, their ass got fatter, them hips got a little wider that day. Yes, we thank you, porn dicks. Because we had that conversation too about boyfriend dick versus porn dick. And because you have girls that sit there and say, well, I shoot with a dude that's a 6, and you really don't want that scene to sell. Because if you actually think somebody gonna buy you sucking on a 6-inch dick that's not at least thick or at least look like it's actually a big dick, think again. Because dudes do pay attention to the dicks that you suck, people.
Yeah, and they like big ones better. Sells better.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. So, your first boy-girl shoot, who was that with, and how was that different coming in? Because
is
now
it bad that I don't even remember? I remember my first girl girls, but I don't remember the first boy.
That show you how much you love pussy, ladies and gentlemen. She said, dick come a dime a dozen, but pussy don't. Yeah. So, but was you more nervous with your first boy-girl shoot than you was your first girl-girl shoot?
A little bit, yeah, but I worked through it, and it ended up being good. Never had any issues, but yeah. I will say my first couple boy-girls, I don't even remember who they were with. I've shot a lot of porn, though. I've been doing this for 12 years. If I think back to my early scenes, one of the furthest back ones I can think of is me and Ryan Driller in, like, 2015. And
yeah,
that was for Naughty America.
I've seen that video.
Yeah. Are you talking about one of the newer ones? Because I've shot with Ryan Driller a bunch of times. Mm-hmm. The old one, it was like a neighbor affair or something, and he was coming over to do laundry. Mm-hmm. But that was like 2015. I was all itty bitty, and I had my natural tits still, and mm-hmm. I was so new to shooting with men, and he was the first super attractive man in porn that I got booked with, and the first one that actually was able to make me orgasm. And if you watch that video, it's hilarious, because I was still so sweet and so innocent that mm-hmm. instead of saying, oh my God, in one of the scenes while he's fucking me, I said, oh my gosh. Like, that's how sweet and innocent I was. I was like, oh my gosh.
She's such a sweetheart, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, I know he tried not to laugh when he heard that, if he was paying attention. So for the most part, you were just doing paid gigs. You wasn't even thinking about content at the time.
Definitely not. No, I didn't start thinking about content or doing content until like 2017, 2018, mm-hmm. when OnlyFans came out. That's when I started with content. Mm-hmm. And even then, when I first started with content, I was hardly ever doing it. I was doing it, but it wasn't a constant or a regular thing. Now it's regular for me. I do it as much as possible.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about it, at the time, even with 2017, girls were still thinking paid gigs. And with you being in an agency and been doing paid gigs for long, it's kind of hard for somebody to switch up because you're used to the paid gigs. When you do content, it takes time for money to build. It takes time for the cash to get built up versus
that. Plus back in the day, I had a small following, you know. It's not like people mm-hmm. knew who I was. They weren't searching for my content or my OnlyFans or my store. I was a nobody back in the day.
If I was searching for it, just didn't have it. You get what I'm saying? And really didn't need it because you probably was getting enough paid gigs that you really didn't need to do content because you was making money off the paid gigs.
Making money off the paid gigs, but I remember back in the day, like, even though I was living in Los Angeles and I was shooting semi-regularly, I still wasn't shooting enough to even, like, fully focus on it until 2017 or 2018. I think 2017. Mm-hmm. Before that, I had to have a waitressing gig and I had to do porn to make it in LA.
Yeah.
Because I was a waitress at Universal Studios. I worked at Saddle Ranch before it got bulldozed. So,
yeah, because the thing about it is it's hard to do this full time because one, you got to put a lot of work into it and the money fluctuates.
Yeah. And when you're building a following and when you're new and when directors and talent and other people don't know you yet, you have to develop that time, that rapport. There's so many different things that you have to do because if they don't know who you are, then they're just booking you based off of your image mm-hmm. and it just depends. Do you have the look that they're looking for? Do you not? And then from there, you do a good job. And if they like you, they rebook you. And that's where it gets developed. And luckily, people liked me and I built a good reputation and people continue to book me and work with me years later. But when you're first starting out, it's just, do they want to even give you a chance in the first place?
Yeah, actually. Because the it's always, back then it was about finding the new girl. Now it's about finding a girl that got a nice following. And we're going to continue shooting her because her following getting big. You know, because yeah, some girls that only shot once with these companies and never got called back. Because not because they might not did a good job, it's that's just how the business was. Because I remember I had a male talent was asking me, well, why do you continue to shoot the same girl over and over again? Ain't it supposed to be one and out? I'm like, if she made me money, why wouldn't I not bring her back?
Yeah, if people like her, that means she's going to sell again.
Yeah, but see, that was just the mentality of porn back then, is that, no, you shoot them once and you spend it. You know, period. It was very rare that a girl got brought back for multiple shoots, or even more rare that she got contracted by the damn company. You know, period. So people don't realize how hard it was back then. It wasn't that easy to get the fuck.
Oh, it used to be really hard, and honestly, still to this day, like there's still hard moments. Like if you don't have a certain look, or if you gain weight, or other things, or if you have too many tattoos. Like, yeah. I remember I got my Thor tattoo on my hip, and when I got that, my workflow went down a few grand a month back when I was living in LA. I lost a lot of shoots because I got that one tattoo.
Yeah, they wanted the girls with a clean slate because they were looking at it as, can we market her?
Yeah, you know, and also really? They're like, hey, if she looks more innocent, then people
more money she make, yeah. Yeah, because today is about the milk. Back then it was about the young girl next door that's a freak. Cause that was
one more second. Video. I'm gonna grab my drink because okay, I left it in the other room. I'll be right back.
So while she's gone, people, let me tell you about the premium smoke room on excitebunny.com. 5 premium podcasts for you to enjoy. 3 sexy ass hosts for you to look at. 3 tiers for you to indulge in. First one being the cigar bar, next up the hookah lounge, and last but not least, the VIP smoke room where it really goes down. So you might want to get that top tier because that means you get everything if you get the top tier. And you know what happens in the premium smoke room. That's right, it gets more provocative, it gets more wilder, it gets more crazier. And on top of that, the tits come out and the dildos come out. You won't know unless you subscribe. The link is in the description. And while you're over there, go ahead and get yourself a profile on Excite Bunny. It's just like OnlyFans or Facebook or what have you. You can post some pics, interact with some of the content creators over there. Who knows, even start your own career. So go to excitebunny.com, link in the description. Join the Premium Smoke Room. We're dropping episodes weekly. You get, with the top tier, you get 2 extra episodes with the VIP smoke room, as well as special episodes from our podcast network, as well as special edition episodes. You know what I'm saying? So you need to subscribe. So now that she's back and she got some good soda, yeah. I'm a Pepsi man myself. Coke is my second go-to.
I like both, but I wanted to do Coca-Cola with a little bit of Crown Royal tonight, so.
Ooh.
Yeah, I got the salted caramel one. It's so good.
Oh yeah. I had to get to the ABC store so I can get me some drink. You know what I'm saying, for the New Year's. I normally don't sip. I say I want to sip this New Year's Eve. You know what I'm saying. Hopefully I got some weed too. Oh, I'm gonna try to. So, now. Back to what we were talking about. So with the content, how do you choose your male talents to work with?
Well, I live in Colorado and it's kind of limited here. So I tend to work with the same male talent over and over again. Or when I go out to LA, I work with people that I've worked with on actual porn sets. That I know that I vibe with, I get along with, so we work together again, offset, in our personal life. So that's typically how I do it. I tend to go to the same people over and over again. I'm like, oh, I fucked you before, and I know it went well, so let's do it again.
Yeah, but I mean, but it like this. To me, that's kind of smart, because it still gives you a exclusiveness that most girls don't have, because you have girls that come in and they shoot with every fucking male talent in the business for content.
Yeah, so I don't do that, and not only do I not do that, but I know some girls will find talents off of Reddit, or they'll do fuck a fan competitions or other things, and I don't do that. And I have fans ask me all the time if I'm ever going to, and I've considered it, but I just don't want to. I don't know. I don't want to. I don't know.
Because people don't realize once you're at a certain level, anything below it, you just killed your business. Because they saw you one way, they expect to see you that every time. So them, as much as fans say that shit, as soon as you shoot with a fan, guess what? Her business goes down slightly. Because
they're also gonna want it all the time. They're gonna be like, well, you fucked that fan, why don't you fuck more? Yeah. Can't you fuck all of us? And I don't want to. I mean, even if you guys are tested and stuff, and it's nothing against you guys, nothing against my fans. I just prefer to shoot with people that are in the industry, that are professional, that know a job's a job, versus shooting with somebody off camera who could be like obsessed with me, or a stalker, or like madly in love, or weird. I don't know. It just doesn't feel right for me to do the fan shoots.
No, let's keep it 100. It's a crap shoot. Because you don't know if he's going to keep it hard. You don't know if you're going to get a good scene.
You don't know if he's going to prematurely come before you even do anything. For all you know, he could just come the second you touch his dick and then not even be able to get it back up.
Yeah. Because
there's so many different things. But it's also, you have to worry about stalkers. You have to worry about obsessive people. You have to worry about so many different things. I just don't want to deal with it.
No, because the average man can't handle the way that that porn stars fuck. As much as these dudes sit here and say that they can't, because your job is to be a complete slut. Mm-hmm. Your job is to not hold back. Your job is to be as nasty, as freaky as fucking possible, because we're porn stars. So you take the average civilian, it's like taking a civilian, throwing him in a cage with a UFC fighter, expecting his ass to win the fight. He's going to get his ass hurt.
It's like throwing somebody who's in high school in the cage with Mike Tyson.
It's not going to be a good look. It's not going to be a good look. So, and two, a lot of these girls be lying to the fans because they're not really fans. They screen the fuck out these dudes to make sure that they porn adequate. And some of these fans are dudes that actually had done porn, we didn't know them. You know, period.
Either that or it's POV, it's whatever. It could even be the girl's boyfriend.
So they tell
this one girl, I'm not going to say names, but there's this one female talent that I worked with, and her husband, they mainly shot POV, but sometimes if they did show him fully, they would blur his face with an editing software, and they would give him fake temporary tattoos to make him look like a different person in different videos.
She might as well just go ahead and fuck different dudes. But I love the creativity behind that, though.
It's smart. It's really good creativity, but it's funny because people think it's a different dude every time. Just because it's like different temporary tattoos that look realistic.
Yeah, because...
just don't talk, baby. Keep your mouth shut while I suck your dick. They won't know the difference.
Look pretty and be hard, fellas. But to be honest with you, because like Claudia Marie, she's one of the girls that I follow. She's a legend. And she stays saying fan. But these dudes that she's booking are not fans. Because I knew one of the guys that he actually broke into business by doing her. And she says it's people that have been members to her site. But I can tell that these motherfuckers just ain't typical members. You know, period. She picks dudes that even want to be in the business, have been in the business, but not very much known, so she can pull off that ecstatic of that they're a fan. You know, period. So she can get more people to become members. Basically, she's hustling you motherfuckers, but y'all too dumb to see that. But I digress. You know what I'm saying? But let me be the first to tell you. Men, we can't do fan fucks because females ain't going to want to fuck us on camera.
They might, but if they do, either they're probably crazy, or they might be overweight, or there might be other issues going on.
Or they want to wear a mask.
Or have their face blurred. There's nothing wrong with that part, though. Yeah. As long as they do the IDs and the model releases, who cares if they want to blur their face or do no face content?
Oh, no. Me if a dude, I'm not blurring you. You better wear a mask. I'm not blurring your face. You know how odd it looks, her face blurred. She trying to suck a dick. When she go down, the dick get blurred, so you can't even see how much you're taking in her mouth.
Well, the blow job do other things.
Oh, yeah, because you got fetishes and all that good stuff, so she had
titty fucking, anal, cream pies. You don't have to have her face in the shot.
Oh, no. But it's just me because I'm old school like that. And two, I hate people that don't show their face because you're cheating the game. Because you get to step away and not have to deal with the repercussions that we would have to deal with for us showing our face.
Yeah, with me, I'm just like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Sorry.
When I came in the game, I said I'm either all in or not. Because I said, no, if either I'm going to show my face or I'm not going to do this.
You know, if I ever just want to get out, all I have to do is cut my hair and color it and nobody will recognize me.
Shit, you'd be surprised, goddamn. Like, I know you. You be in the grocery store.
They might say you look familiar, but here's the thing. Like, even with me as is, I have such a girl next door type of persona. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, like, people don't even realize I'm me, or they'll be like, you look familiar, but I can't place what you're in or where you're from. Have you been on TV? Have you done YouTube? Like, I've done YouTube stuff, but no, this is the type of shit people ask me. And when I tell people I do porn, half the time they're like, no, you don't. I get told I don't do porn, and even by my own industry, I've been doing this 12 years. At the most recent Exotica, there was a bodyguard who didn't want to let me into one of the after parties and said that I couldn't be a porn star. And then one of the other porn girls had to come over and be like, she actually is in our industry, and had to get him to let me into the after party for my work stuff. I guess he thought I found somebody's performer badge or whatever. I looked too much like the girl next door. They wouldn't let me into my own networking business party.
Damn. I admit, you have the girl next door look, but
yeah, they told me you got the porn body, porn star. They didn't want to let me into my own business party that I was supposed to go to. Anyways, I had my badge and everything, and they still, like, didn't want to let me in. And one of my coworkers in the industry had to go and help me out.
That is fucking crazy shit.
So that's what happens to me at my own porn events. Mm-hmm. People being weird and not wanting to let me in and telling me I can't be a porn star, even though I'm bodyguards. Mm-hmm. And then I'm so accepted in other communities that when I was in LA, like, a month or so ago, I went to a friend's comedy show, and I got there a little bit early, and they were trying to send me back to the green room because they thought I was one of the comedians that night. Like, just from me walking in and sitting at the bar, the bartender was trying to send me to the green room. So I think I'm just in the wrong industry because I can't even get into my own business events, but then I go to sit down at the bar and they try to send me to the green room automatically.
So they look at you and Boyd as the most innocent of innocent girls, even though she probably went to freakiest and nastiest ones in the game. But dude, in the comedy club, they were like, you know, so you look like you do stand up. Come on back here.
Yeah.
That's our industry, ladies and gentlemen. I wish I could say that. Motherfuckers were like, we knew you were going to be in porn. You got the look and everything.
I look so innocent, I can't even get into my own work event.
Oh, my God. But see, to me, if I work with you, man, some of them scenes were probably being played off your innocence.
It's funny. If you look up my shit, I did a double anal with BBC dicks, and it was a gangbang in Prague. Mm-hmm. So I had two big black dicks in my ass, one in my pussy.
Oh, you was in Prague, so you didn't work with AJ Fresh.
I never worked with AJ Fresh, I don't think. Unless he's the one with legal porno. I don't think
they always go to Prague and shoot all the time.
I worked with legal porno out there one time. But yeah, and I've also taken Dread in the ass, the biggest BBC in porn. He's like bigger than Mandingo. I do some crazy shit. And then Michael Vegas, I've worked with him. And when I worked with him, I fisted his ass. Anyways, I do crazy shit. And then people try to tell me that I can't even be a porn star.
So I take it you peg men too, right?
Yeah, I peg men. I peg men, I fist men, I do all kinds of
things. So we're a dominatrix.
I'm a switch, but yeah, I like to dom.
Oh my God! You're the most innocent looking dominatrix I ever met.
Oh, what's funny is if you look me up and you look up all of my awards and my nominations and things, mm-hmm. I've had so many nominations over the years. The only thing I ever won in the industry, if you look me up and look up all of my history online, mm-hmm. I won Most Inconspicuous Dominatrix at the Spank Bank Awards in 2016. And nobody even told me I was nominated and nobody told me I won. I didn't make it to that award show. I was newer in the industry. But nobody told me. I never got my trophy, never got anything, but it's online on the records that I won Most Inconspicuous Dominatrix 2016 Spank Bank Awards.
Well, you better than me. I got nominated. A scene I was in got nominated for Urban X, but my name was not mentioned in the nomination. I said, how y'all ain't gonna mention the male talent that was fucking Bobo? That's some bullshit. But I take it I have been nominated for a scene one time of my life.
I've had a lot of nominations. I've never won. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that this will win for Retro Knockout. Mm-hmm. If it does, it's going to be my first win for AVN. So I'm hoping
might, because being in a video game and being featured in a video game is huge. You know, there's people that would love. You have rappers that want to be featured in video games, and you got featured in a video game. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, but best mainstream feature of the year, I'm up against some pretty big names. They have Miles Long and a couple other bigger performers. So, yeah, and Miles has won so many AVNs. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, do I even have a chance just because of the people I'm up against? Yeah. That's the only reason why I'm like, I feel like it's a little bit of favoritism with AVN and with other things. If I win, I will be very, very surprised, and I will feel amazing.
Oh, for sure. I'm pretty sure of it. So, when it comes to now filming your own content, how often do you film your own content?
It depends on the month and, like, how many things I have going on, because if I have paid work come up, paid work is always priority. Mm-hmm. But if I don't have anything paid going on, I try to shoot at least once or twice a week with other people. Mm-hmm. But it varies.
Mm-hmm. So how often, which do you film more of, your girl or your boy girl?
Girl, because in Colorado, I have a bunch of female talents to work with. Mm-hmm. I only have like one dude in Colorado that I can work with.
I'm sorry. People don't realize how hard it is to find talent to work with, especially if the area is not porn known like that.
I have like 15 different women. No joke. There's a lot of women that do porn and webcamming and other things here. It's easy for me to find vagina in Colorado. It's not hard to find a good dick.
But yeah, I am told that Colorado is becoming the new swingers capital of this bitch.
There are a lot of swingers here, and I know a swinger couple too. I've shot with her and her husband like twice. That was okay. I like shooting with her, but she always wants to shoot gangbangs, and she finds dudes off Reddit, and it's not my thing. I did one giant gangbang with her, and we had 20 different dudes that we had to work with, and it was just too much. It was so overwhelming. I don't like more than 5 dicks at a time.
So that, she just answered the question I was going to ask. The perfect gangbang, 5 dicks, ladies and gentlemen.
That's the most I want, and even then, that's a little bit much. I like more intimate things. I like it when it's just a couple of people. I like threesomes, like two dudes, very nice, 2 girls, me and another girl. I like threesomes.
Yeah, because even from scrolling, I saw a lot of girl on girl, you know, and some boy girl or whatever. So is it safe to say your focus girl on girl because of the fact you can't find male talent, or your focus is girl on girl because you see that it's a little bit more lucrative for you than doing boy girl?
Oh, no, I make way more money when I do boy-girl. It's not lucrative for me. It's because of the fact that it's what I have available. I'm bisexual. But yeah, it's what's available. I have beautiful women that I can work with in Colorado. And for men, I have to either travel to Vegas or Florida or California for dick. I have to travel for dick. There aren't dicks here that I can use on a regular basis. There aren't any good ones that I can have steady access to. I straight up have to travel for cock. Both in my personal life and with porn. With porn, too.
Damn.
But yeah, there's nobody good here. I haven't had good dick in Colorado since my ex-fiance. And that was 2021 when we broke up. I straight up travel for dick.
Well, I mean, but that's the thing. It's like, sometimes if you want to chase this business, you got to travel. You know?
Well, yeah, but even in my personal life. There's no good dick here. I travel for it. I'd rather go to LA and Vegas. I'll go get Vegas dick.
I wish I could come through to come through here and give her a damn hug, poor baby, because I know the feeling.
There's no good dicks in Colorado, you guys.
Colorado, y'all need to get on your dean. Where the good dicks at?
They're all in Vegas and California.
Oh my goodness. So shoot, so yeah, because I ain't gonna front. Yeah, that's kind of, well, not, it's not far-fetched, because like I said before, it was a state that's not really known for porn. There's not a lot of content creators there.
Well, yeah, but even in my personal life, even just dating, there's no good dick here.
Damn.
There's no good dick.
you take a dude home and you be disappointed as hell, but like, I wasted my time with you.
Nah, I don't really do that. I don't like going out or hooking up. I don't like that culture. Plus, it's never worth it. There's never any good ones.
But to be honest with you, that's the other thing that a lot of podcasts and people don't talk about. We have to curb our personal sex life greatly to chase this business. Because our job is to stay clean.
Yep.
So you just can't pick up a random motherfucker and take them home. Well, we can't do that.
Even if I could, it's not my thing. It's not my style.
Mm-hmm.
And usually, like, when I start sleeping with somebody, I tend to stick to them. Like, I still fuck people I fucked 10 years ago. On and off, it's not steady, but I still fuck motherfuckers I used to fuck. If I like your dick, I keep you around in my back pocket even after we break up half the time. I know your dick works. I know you know what you're doing. And I know you're clean. My logic, I don't need to find new dicks. I go back to the old ones.
Oh, yeah. You know, period. Because like I said, if that test comes up positive, that's money lost. Not just her, the whole fucking goddamn industry shuts down. Mm-hmm. One person test can shut down millions and billions of dollars in the industry and make everybody, mama, go get retested real fast. And now add this new STI, who is really serious now.
Everybody's having all kinds of issues from that MGen crap. I've been hearing about that.
Yeah, because it's new. It's not new, but it's new to the industry because they never tested for it. Never had to, you know. So now the industry had to recalibrate for this new STI, you know, period, and everything. And compared to now, back in the day, you came up negative, you came up positive one time, your career is done. Now, these motherfuckers, they don't really give a shit. They really don't even give a shit. That motherfucker can fake a damn test. I seen a motherfucker fake a test, he's still shooting. I'm like, really?
I'm surprised they allow that one.
No, because like I said, it's kind of like, what I hate is men get away with that, women don't. Women get dragged for fucking that test. Men, we don't even catch no flack. Actually, we'll disappear for 6 months, come right back like nothing happened. I hate
nobody that should get away with fake tests. Nobody. Mm-hmm. I think that's disgusting.
Yeah. Or even a failed test. A dude, you know what I'm saying? Because a female catch flack for her test coming up positive. A dude, we won't even hear about it. he'll disappear and come right back like ain't nothing happened, you know, period. So it's like, even though women make the most money, they catch the most flack. You know what I'm saying? Even once they retire from the industry, finding someone to date and all that, you know, don't get twisted, men, we have our issues too, but not compared to
them. It's hard for us to date. It's hard to have a love life. And people always say that they're okay with my job at first, and then they start having a problem with it as soon as they get feelings.
Well, so you know how men is, our ego is we want to be the best dick you ever had. And if she's fucking, especially porn, it's different between swinging and porn. Swinging, she might not run to the biggest dick all the time. Porn, she guaranteed to run to big dick, and it's good dick. You know, period. And it's interesting, one thing that you harped on, because we had this conversation too. A lot of fans think that you women orgasm every time y'all film. Y'all
nope. Definitely no. I hardly ever orgasm when I shoot.
Mm-hmm. So is it, so people can understand, is it because it's because you're shooting, or is it because of the talent?
Or a combination
of both? Is it because you're shooting? What I mean by shooting is,
well, I heard that part. I didn't hear the second part.
Or is it the talent?
So sometimes the chemistry is just not there. Other times, it's because I'm too focused on lights, cameras, angles, positions. Oh, we got to make sure that we have the right angle. We got to be able to see everything, make sure there's no shadows. You need to be louder, moan louder for the camera, be more enthusiastic. We need more dirty talk. Like, it takes you out of the moment. It makes it to where you can't really enjoy it. And then also, depending upon like talents you work with and companies that book you, like I get booked with Corbin Fisher pretty regularly, and they have their sites like Buy College Fucks and different things. And a lot of times they're pairing me with 18, 19 year old boys who don't know what they're doing, because I still look young. I look like a college kid. So I'm fucking 18 year olds that don't know how to kiss, don't know how to fuck, and they're just absolutely terrible, and I can't get off. It's not my style, especially because it's like, I started out in porn being the barely legal girl who they always had working with skilled, talented, older male performers. So I have high standards sexually, and it takes more to get me off. Like, some of my first shoots were with Ryan Driller, Evan Stone, Tommy Pistol. I've worked with Owen Gray. I've worked with Dredd. I've worked with Isaiah Maxwell. You know, I know what good dick is.
Nice.
So when I get paired with people that don't know what the fuck they're doing.
People, this is the name she just named off. First of all, the fact she said Evan Stone. Do you understand? I look up to that man.
He's amazing.
He's a beast. At this age, he still can go. And look good for his age, too. And if you ever been to Azaga, he's the crazy white dude that always talk to the fans when they in line.
And he wears different costumes and stuff sometimes. He's cool.
He is a whole lot of fun. Him and his wife, Savannah, if they still together and everything.
Yeah, he's still with his wife.
Yeah, because I never forget, I was watching a documentary. It was an orgy scene they were doing, which was a crescendo of this movie. And she is the oldest one. Everybody else is 19 and 18. She's the oldest one.
His wife, Katie Morgan, is so gorgeous, though. Katie Morgan is a bombshell.
Oh, that's my baby. That's my favorite. Oh, I remember on porn. First time I saw her was on Pornucopia on HBO. Yeah. And it was just funny how they still show the old school Hollywood where you went to the studio, take your clothes off, turn around. All right, get ready, go to makeup.
They still do ghosties like that where you can get your jobs from going and like doing the spin arounds. They still do that.
And then I had an argument with a new head. Was like, when I told them that the men had to send in profile pics and what the profile pics were, just like the women. Oh, that's sexual harassment. That's sexual assault. Why do you need to send a dick pic?
This is porn. It's a sex job.
She hurt my head when she said that. I said, I see why you don't get work. Because once again, the aesthetic is you're getting fucked by a big dick. They want to make sure that the dick is porn adequate. Porn adequate is 7 inches, the lowest, and he better be thick like a fucking soda can or a Foster beer can.
For or that he better look work. Like the boy next door who's getting corrupted.
Basically. You know, mm-hmm. Even then, he still got to pack something.
Because well, I think if he's cute enough and stuff, like, they'll go with that for barely legal type things or nubiles. Yeah. Or be like, oh, he's fucking the mill for the babysitter. Mm-hmm. And, like, they'll do that. If you have a smaller dick, though, you better have a baby face and look like you're the boy next door getting corrupted by mommy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You better be mommy's little bitch.
Yeah. And then, too, the other thing she said, people don't realize there's such thing called a whitelist. For the guys who come too fast, that's not a good thing in the industry, unfortunately.
Oh, that'll get you fired. People will never book you again. And it's like high school. Word gets around if you come too fast or if you can't come or if you have wood issues on set. Like, this shit travels around. Everybody talks. It's just like high school. They'll be like, yeah, his dick doesn't work.
Yeah, because I had a fan that said, well, why did they keep using the same male talent? Dependability, motherfucker. Dependability. Mm-hmm.
We know their dicks work. We know they're going to show up. We know that they're going to come when they're supposed to come. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of reasons. It's easier to rotate through women because with us, if our dick's not working, all we got to do is throw on some lube. Because if we're dry, that's basically the female version of erectile dysfunction. If we're dry, our dick's not working.
And in some cases, they don't want to hear about you having a monthly. They'll give your ass a soft cup and say, keep it spinning. I've seen that before. That's how I learned about the soft cup, watching documentaries. Cause I'll never forget Stoya, she supposed to be doing, this is when they remade Deep Throat. And she said she was on her monthly. They reached in the bag, pulled out this little purple package, said, pop that in your coochie, see you in 15 minutes. They ain't trying to hear that shit. Too much money on that set. Cause like I said,
I use a makeup sponge. I don't use the soft cup. They do makeup sponges, too. And makeup sponges, like the little latex wedges that you use for foundation, you can use them. You can fuck with them in. And then you just have to stick your fingers up in there and, like, pull it out afterwards. Absorbs all the blood, but it also absorbs all the juices. So then it's, like, dry fucking the whole time.
Oh, yeah. Because, trust me, it'd been many times I had to help the girl pull out.
Makeup sponges and discs and other things.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And trust me, after we done fought, I done pushed that bitch up in there, so I got to get up in that motherfucker.
It's hard to do, and those things can get stuck, and if they get stuck, they can cause you toxic shock syndrome, and they can kill you.
See, that's why dudes, it's good to have a finger to do this, because then you can go in there and just grip it and pull. Because trust me, it's hard to be a finger can't do that, because you ain't going to get that motherfucker out.
I usually shove my fingers in like scissors and try to like grip it and then pew, pew, pew.
Yeah. See, this is a little tidbit stuff that the fans don't know about that we have to do. Because like I talk about mental prep. I talk about physical prep before a scene. You know, men, women, regimens that we do before scenes to get our mind right. And stuff like that. What's some of the stuff that you do to get yourself mentally prepared for shoots?
I usually just dive in head first. I don't really prepare myself mentally. I don't need to most of the time. I like to get into character and just kind of create the scene. I like role play. I like dirty talk. I like creating new characters. I don't know. I guess I'm a little weird. I can disassociate and I can kind of become the character for the moment when it's rolling.
Mm-hmm. But see, that's a good thing because even with me, I used to do the same thing. Like, If I had to play, at one time I played secret agent for the female president. I played the criminal. I played different type roles, you know. So you kind of immerse yourself into it so it can be authentic.
Yeah, you know? And I'm able to do that. I kind of just jump into it and I put myself in that headspace while I'm filming and it helps. But yeah, I do some weird scenes though, where I'm being corrupted or CNC play, different things. I've done murder porn. I've done things where I've been the dead body on the morgue table getting fucked by the mortician person. I've done some weird shit. I've done parody stuff. I was the Pink Ranger and Mighty Muffin Pounder Rangers. I get into character. I can do these different scenes, anywhere from silly and goofy to crying my eyes out to playing dead while people touch me. I do some weird shit.
So how much of your background in independent films had translated to this?
I mean, I've done a little bit of acting my entire life. A little bit of everything. I wanted to be an actor like ever since I was a kid. That was like my dream job. I did all of the theater productions, all the school plays, did local movies even as a kid. Like my first time being in an independent film, I was like 8 or 9 years old. And I had either the lead or the secondary lead in a film that was filmed locally about these three girls that have a drunk, abusive mom and how they like run away and they go live with these other girls. And I had that. That was one of my first roles as a kid, and I had to like cry on cue and different things. So at like 8 or 9 years old, I was able to make myself cry for a role on camera, and I've been acting my whole life.
Oh, snap.
It was something I always wanted to do.
So when it comes to your porn scenes for your content, how much do you involve role play and acting in your shit?
For content trades, I don't do that too much just because, you know, when you're just doing it as content, you don't have a budget, and I'm not gonna force people to do roles or things that take longer. A lot of my stuff that's content trade is gonzo, just jump into it. We're not paying each other.
Boo. I feel you. But no, because even with me,
there's been a few times where I've paid people to do acting roles with me. I don't have the budget to do it on a regular basis, you know, for my content. The few times that...
I mean, you ain't got to... I tell people this. You ain't got to write a script. It could be improv. Like, if me and you work together and I gave you a role to play...
It's hard to find people that can act, people that can remember scripts, people that can improv... It's not easy to find that in porn. Sometimes the best you can get is somebody who's able to have sex on camera. And sometimes people can't even remember like 2 or 3 lines. I've run into cases on sets where I'm working for Brazzers or other companies. And there was this one girl that was on a scene with us like a year ago. It wasn't for Brazzers. It was a different company, but big production company, not going to say which one, and I'm not going to name the talent. She had 3 lines. She couldn't remember them, and then she got so upset with herself for not being able to remember it. She had a full-blown panic attack and was bawling her eyes out on set. Dang. Over 3 simple lines. So.
Yeah. Because it too, also, some of these male talents, they don't want to talk. They just want to fuck. You know,
a lot of the times people just want to fuck and that's all they're comfortable with. Yeah. And, you know, in my personal life, like, I don't want to deal with the issues of trying to get people to remember scripts or trying to get them to say it right for a content trade. Mm-hmm. If it's a content trade, we're both there for free. We're both just going to have fun. If it's a content trade, I want to have a drink, maybe smoke a little weed, just goof off with my friends, have sex, and just film it and make it look pretty. I always go for high quality visuals, lingerie, lighting, sound. I'm very into high quality. I don't like shitty, amateur, blurry, fuzzy, shaky shit. Has to be high quality. But yeah, high quality. But in my personal life with content trades, I don't do scripts very often.
So have you ever thought about doing content houses?
Content houses? Mm-hmm. What do you mean?
That shows you how much she's on the main level. When a bunch of times, recent things that been popping up, that been popping in porn is content houses. Shouts out to my man, Team VP, Richard Mann, and all of them, as well as shouts out to Girls Gone Wilders. And what it is they get a bunch of established talent to come to the house, and they all film.
I've done stuff like that, little weekends or whatever with my friends and stuff. Like, yeah, once in a while I've done stuff like that. And my friends and I are actually talking about doing a group trip next year to either Greece or possibly France.
Damn.
So me and my girlfriends, we're looking into that right now. Nothing's set in stone, but we're hoping to either go to Greece or Italy or France or somewhere next year. And there's like six of us talking about going and all shooting porn together. So we'll see.
Oh, snap.
It's going to be like me, Callie Roses, Batty Bina, Jackie Valentine, and a few other girls. But we're already discussing it. We're trying to figure out dates, budgets, where we want to go, trying to discuss everything. And we also want to look into travel packages and see if there's any group discounts or things that we can do.
Oh, yeah. Just talk to a travel agent. They'll set that up.
Because yeah.
Especially they know it was a group. Shit, that's more money for them on their commission and everything. So, oh my goodness. And I love a coffee cup too.
Thank you. I need to do dishes. I'm drinking my alcohol out of a coffee cup.
There's nothing wrong with that.
See this? It says, the boss loves Atlanta on this side. And then over here it says, Carlos's Bake Shop.
Oh, shit.
It's from New York. It's this cookie and pastry and cannoli shop.
I might have to check that out next time I go to New York.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh my goodness. So yeah, how do you
years ago?
So how do you handle when the shoot is rough? Because that's the other thing. Not every shoot is gonna go smoothly. I didn't have shoots where I had to shit, it was rough. You know.
I just push through it. That's all you can do. The thing is, if you have a bad day at work, what are you gonna do? You push through and you sit there biting your tongue until you're like, okay, can I please go home? You know, like, can this day be over with? You think that in your head. You don't say that out loud because you don't want to make the day worse. But in your head, you're like, please let this be over. It's just like a normal job in that sense.
Oh, yeah. Because there have been times where it was so rough. All we did was missionary, blowjob, and doggy. And it was a strong 15 minutes, I just speak. Me, I wanted to at least do 20, 25, maybe 30. That's a good.
So I'm not going to say names, but a few weeks back, there was a scene out in Florida that was so rough. And the male talent was such a dickhead that he, like, lost his temper, started screaming at me, started screaming at the director, got in the director's face. And the director's girlfriend, who was one of the extra camera people who was doing BTS, she took me to other room. While the dude was like getting in the director's face, screaming at him. He was screaming at Connor Cox. Do you know Connor Cox?
Stop playing.
He was trying to fight Connor Cox. I'm not going to say who the male talent was that was starting the drama, but he tried to fight Connor Cox. He was screaming in his face.
He realized like, how much sway that Connor Cox got in this industry. I know his ass got blackballed. I know that ass got blackballed quick.
Oh, yeah.
That ass got black. You ain't get, buddy, you ain't get no work. You better just do content with the content creators. You might not even get some of the top girls work with you now.
Yeah, no, the dude, like, was flipping out on set after it was already a bad day on set. He was having wood issues the entire time, and he was blaming the temperature, and then he was blaming, let's see, I'm trying to think what else. He blamed, like, five or six different things, and then he kept making remarks about my weight. And after about the fourth time, I was like, dude, can you please stop, like, making remarks about my weight? And then that's when he, like, snapped. And then I was like, well, it's not my fault. Your dick won't work. I said that because I was tired of his shit. And then that's when he started screaming at me and then screaming at Connor and trying to fight Connor. Anyway.
Yeah, I can tell you right now, he ain't getting no more work.
Because, oh, I know, because Connor and Katie, they were upset. They were like,
yeah, I'm pretty sure they are. Because as even me being a director, you want the shoot, even if it's a rough shoot, you still want it to go smooth. You want people to have a good, positive attitude about it, you know, period. And dudes, our slope is way more slipperier. Because a female can be a bitch on set and still get work. You can't. You can't do what the females do. You know what I'm saying? Female can blow her shit on set and be right back next week. Your ass.
Well, even if she like is a diva, I've never seen anybody act like that. I've been in the industry for 12 years. This dude was straight up in Connor's face trying to fight him and like screaming at me, screaming at Connor. It was bad.
Connor getting deck his ass.
Connor's too nice.
I know Connor was like, all right, hey, let him know he don't need to be booked by nobody else. Yeah.
Black yeah, no, you know Connor, he's like one of the calmest, sweetest individuals. You don't see him raise his voice. You don't see him do anything. He's cool. He's like that.
You know, when you're a boss, I don't need to raise my voice. Mm-hmm. I don't need to get out of character. You know, we must stay professional even when others don't. You know, period. Because even if he did get baited into it, it would look more bad on him than the talent. You know, period. And plus, when you got swayed like Connor, I don't need to say shit. All I got to do is make a phone call. Your career is done, buddy.
Yep.
You know, period. That's why I tell anybody, when you get to that level of the game, you better have your mind right, because it's not the same. This ain't content trade. That room is filled with people. You know what I'm saying? Content trade, you might have the cameraman, you and the female. Mm-hmm. Hollywood, you got you, the female, the cameraman, the boom light, the makeup, the catering, other talent waiting on your ass to go ahead and pop so they can go to lunch, or waiting for the next you to pop so they can do their scene so they can go to fuck home. You know, period. So it's different levels to this shit. And a lot of people don't realize that.
So, yeah.
So shoot. So people, I think I held this lady on here for a nice minute, you know. And I enjoyed it. So you know, we got to ask her the $1 million question.
Yes.
Can I call you a smoke buddy?
A smoke buddy?
Yes.
Yes, you can call me a smoke buddy.
See, there you go.
I will say, I don't know if I have anything to smoke right now. I can check.
Oh, don't worry, because the next time you come on here, we damn sure going to smoke. That's right, people. You heard it. Miss Huntsman will be back here on the Smokers Lounge. And guess what, Premium Smokers? We're going to convince her to come on the Premium Smoke Room. That's right. I know, because y'all looking at her sexy ass about to light up that nice little, you know what I'm saying, doobie right there. I know y'all Premium Smokers like, Bob, we need her on the Smoker Room. We need her in the Premium Smoke Room. Well, we're going to work on getting her that. Y'all know what it is, the Premium Smoke Room. 5 premium podcasts for you to enjoy. 3 sexy hosts for you to look at. 3 tiers for you to spend your money on. And you want to get the VIP smoke room, because if you get that, you get to look at everything plus extra. And what happens in the premium smoke room stays in premium smoke room. What happens in the premium smoke room? It gets more candid. It gets more wilder. It gets more unpredictable. It gets more nastier. Tits come out. Dildos might come out. I done had girl show cooch on the damn thing. Hey, you don't know unless you subscribe, and the description has the link. So with that being said, Ms. Huntsman, can you tell everybody where they can spend money on you, baby?
Yes. So I'm on OnlyFans, Sexed Panther, and I'm on Extra Naughty. Have you heard about it?
No, I haven't, but tell us about it.
So Extra Naughty is a new platform by Naughty America. It's similar to like OnlyFans mixed with TikTok. Mm. Like, they have a free page where you can scroll through vertical videos like TikTok, and you can get a preview of the girls, and it drives traffic to your page. Mm. And you can do the pay-per-view videos, you can do subscriptions, you can do free videos, you can do the chats, kind of like OnlyFans, but there's discoverability on this. And it's created by Naughty America.
Mm. And what's the name of it again?
ExtraNaughty.com.
Extra Naughty. I'm going to go check that out. Who knows?
I'm cool.
Might give me an account on that motherfucker. You know, I'm always looking for new platforms to put my shit on.
Oh, you should definitely join. It just got released, and Naughty America is doing PR right now through AVN and XBiz about it. And they're going to have a huge boost during AVN to push it. So I have a feeling that their site could take off.
Well, I believe so. And plus, it being Naughty America, and they're one of the big dogs, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. They're established, so I think that this could do really well. And I will say, I like the layout of it way better than OnlyFans, and I like how smooth everything is on it. I haven't made any money on it yet because it's brand new, but I have very high hopes. I see a lot of potential.
Mm. So there you go, people. So, you know how we do these things, how we end these episodes, all day, every day. Nothing no different, they're always the same. Life is a learning experience. What's the point of the experience if you haven't learned anything? Smoke this over. Nikki Huntsman, tell everybody goodbye, baby.
Bye, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the show.